Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the third chapter of the book of John, and also to the 19th chapter of the book of John. Shall we stand together, the book of John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. We'll read down through verse 7. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, He must be born again. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this great portion of Scripture. And as we realize that we need salvation, you have provided the one that was necessary for our salvation in sending Jesus the Christ. Lord, we pray now that this would be a good day here at the Covenant Baptist Church. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. John chapter 19, and we'll begin reading at verse 38. John 19, beginning at verse 38. And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came, therefore, and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. We find that Nicodemus is mentioned a number of times in the book of John, and we'll be looking at them briefly this morning. But we found in our opening reading from John chapter 3, verse 3, that Jesus said, Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Reverend C.I. Schofield, under the thought of born again, regeneration, writes, the necessity of the new birth grows out of the incapacity of the natural man to see or enter into the kingdom of God. However gifted, moral, or refined, the natural man is absolutely blind to spiritual truth and impotent to enter the kingdom, for he can neither obey, understand, or please God. If I were to ask you a verse that proves this thought, you would quickly say Romans 3:23, for all have what? Sinned and come short of the glory of God. Schofield continues, the new birth is not a reformation of old nature. It is not a turning over a new leaf, but a creative act of the Holy Spirit. Romans 6:6 says, Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Schofield continues, the condition of the new birth is faith in Christ crucified. It wasn't that he came to earth, but that he was crucified, that he was buried, that he arose again 3 days later and has ascended into the heavens. John 1, 12 and 13 says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Our salvation is fully of the Lord. Dr. Mark Miliani writes, in 2015, just 2 months past, ISIS became a world power, homosexual marriages became law, Bruce Jenner declared himself a woman, mobs became common, politics became prominent, terrorist attacks became reality. Natural disasters wreaked havoc. Planned Parenthood was exposed. And science made claims for man to achieve immortality. These headlines are not only shocking, but should serve as a wake-up call for Christians and all gospel-preaching churches. A look at our country and the world makes us realize that the gospel is needed more than ever before. May I say this, the work of the church is not done. That as the last days come roaring towards us, there is much still to be done. As one has said, what should have been happening down through the centuries must now crowd the last times. I have thoughts here under superstitions, false doctrines, and fanciful teachings. In the Philippines, there are thousands that take part in a bloody ritual in which an individual whip his own bare back, believing that self-inflicted pain of these rites will cleanse the believer of their sin, cure illness, and even grant wishes. Is that biblical? Nowhere in the Bible does it tell us to take a whip and to whip our backs. Are you not glad for that? I was reading in the Reader's Digest under Heroes, and it was about a pilot that was flying for Angel Flight, those people that take people in need of medical needs and conditions that have to be taken care of at a place not near where they live, and they fly them free of charge. And I think that's to be commended. But on a certain flight, one of the pilots was taking a young boy who he had flown on a number of occasions, and this young boy was dying, and the young boy was angry with the Lord. And the pilot said to him, God must need you to be an angel. And that's why he's taking you. Is that biblical? Angels are created beings. Humans never become angels. Angels cannot know Christ as their Savior. The fallen angels are bound for hell. But we that are born again are bound for heaven because of the shed blood of Christ. Though it may sound good, it is false doctrine. Little kids who die do not become angels. But see, there are ways that seem right to men, but they are the ways of death. Bud Steeman, executive director for Baptist World Missions, wrote in a recent newsletter following a 3-week trip to Brazil, this is a needy land. While their status as host of this year's Summer Olympics gives the impression of a people prospering, political and moral corruption has internally destroyed the credibility of the leadership of the largest country in South America. He continues, but that is not the great need of the nation. Multitudes of Brazilians remain under the bondage of the darkness of Catholicism, Spiritism, and a false prosperity gospel. We find that false teaching abounds in our world. And may I say this, the Lord Jesus Christ has one way through into heaven, and that's through him, he, the door. But Satan has hundreds, yea, thousands of false religions. Lancer Gother, a BBF missionary to the Philippines, writes, "Believe it or not, but one of the least attended Sundays for the entire year is Easter. For most Filipinos, the events leading up to the resurrection celebration are their focus. Ash Wednesday, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Black Saturday." He continues, "Every year in our city of Antipolo, the walk offering trek is made to one of the most famous cathedrals in the Philippines. A vision of Mary was supposedly seen in a tree at this cathedral in the 1600s. Last year, more than 4 million people walked to this church." Now, that's more than we have on any given Sunday. 4 million people walked to this church from as far away as 30 miles. We can't get people to walk in from the parking lot. They walked, some of them, 30 miles, taking 5 to 9 hours to mark penance and show their devotion to God. It's a sight to behold as entire highways are shut down to make way for the walkers. 4 million people, that is bigger than every city in the United States except New York," unquote. False religions, false teachings. To the male Muslim martyr, there is the hope of heaven with dozens of virgins to provide for his every wish. I know this, one woman is enough for me. I'll move along. Am I okay so far? Coexist, that's what we're told to do. We cannot coexist with the Jehovah's Witness. We cannot coexist with the Mormon. We cannot coexist with the Muslim. We cannot coexist with the Buddhist, the Hindu, the evolutionist, the New Age movement believer. Now, we may live with them and we may work with them and we may live beside them, but when it comes to our beliefs in Christ, we cannot coexist. We are different, and I want them to know we're different. The fact of the matter is, we can't even coexist with many of the so-called Christian denominations as they have drifted from the teachings of the whole Word of God. But getting back to Nicodemus. Nicodemus had religion. Religion is man's attempt to reach up to God with the hopes that he will convince God that he deserves entrance into heaven. May I say this, God is not interested in our religion. That was kind of weak. God is not interested in our religion. He is interested in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And the greatest relationship we can ever have is with Jesus Christ as he being our Savior. Take your Bibles and quickly turn to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. And we know it's in the Old Testament, correct? Chapter 2. When we'll read verses 18 through 20. Just remember it's H-Z-H-Z-M. You say, how do you memorize, know where the books of the Bible are? Well, I have to have help. Do any of you have to have help? Now, some of you have your Bible markers, you know, little Bible tabs. But this is another way. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? the molten image and a teacher of lies, that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake! To the dumb stone, arise! It shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. If you would quickly to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll begin reading at verse 3. Man has religion. What we need is salvation. And it says in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Those that have never accepted the fact that they are a lost sinner. Those who have not accepted the fact that there is only one way into heaven, and that is through Jesus Christ. Those that have never accepted Jesus Christ to be their Savior. It is hid to them that are lost. In whom, verse 4 says, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Hillary Clinton said the number one issue for today's politicians is the economy. Another one has said that one of our top issues is global change, temperature change. Excuse me? Climate change. Thank you. Others say, oh, we need free education all the way through college. May I say this, the number one issue in our country today is the fact that we have stopped following Jesus Christ. And the further we get away from our Lord and Savior, the worse our nation and our world becomes. We have religion. What we need is Christ. In the book of John chapter 3 verses 5 through 7, it talks about the water birth, the natural birth, and the spiritual birth, to be born again. All of us in this room have been born first, natural birth. Be it a natural birth or be it cesarean, that is the birth, the water birth. But then there is the spiritual birth. See, we are all born into sin. But Jesus Christ has come to save our souls, and he shed his blood for us. Nicodemus was a member of the ruling class. He was a Pharisee. He was zealous in his dedication to God's law. But he was zealous in the wrong way. And in verse 2, it tells us he came to Jesus at night. Many people have discussed, why did he come at night? Some have said there was no time during the day, that he was busy. And he came at night to have an intimate conversation with Jesus. Others said he knew something was missing and could not wait for the day. I've often thought about someone that is sitting in the pew and they know that Jesus Christ, it can be their Savior. And I think to myself, maybe, how do they wait to the end of the service to come? May I say this, if you need to know Christ as their Savior, the best time to get saved is right now. Maybe he was afraid to be seen by his fellow Pharisees who condemned Jesus as many different things. They called him a devil. They said that he was wrong in his teachings. Herbert Lockyer, the author of All the Men of the Bible, writes of Nicodemus, there had been no direct voice from God in Israel for a long time. And here was one whose message carried the stamp of divine authority. So Nicodemus, the cautious inquirer, But a man of spiritual perception sought out Jesus, sought out the Christ, and listened to one of his remarkable conversational lessons. What a blessing it is that we can come to Christ. If you would, back to John chapter 3, verse 2. The same came to Jesus by night. He came to Jesus. May I say that is the greatest journey he ever took. This master of Israel confessed Christ to be a teacher sent from God. And in spite of all that he was and who he thought he was, this teacher told him that despite his culture and his position and his religion, he needed to be born again. It didn't matter, Nicodemus, that you have culture, that you have a position of authority, that you have religion. It is not enough. Nicodemus came to realize that his salvation was dependent upon the shedding of innocent blood. Let's begin reading at verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Jesus Christ was prophesying how he would die, how he would be lifted up, even on a cross. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. See, he didn't come to condemn because we are already condemned. But notice verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. In your mind's eye, as you think of Nicodemus being told that he must be born again, have you been born again? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if you have, is he your Lord and Master? Shall we stand together? Number 17 is our song of invitation, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. Are you truly saying, Lord, have your own way? And his desire is that you would come to know him as Savior, and that you then would allow him to be Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now as we have this invitation time, Lord, we pray that the Spirit would move, hearts would be touched, lives changed. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen.